Professor Barry Hsu, Professor Emeritus of Virology at Fitz University. Good afternoon to you, Prof.
Good afternoon, Simon. Hi.
Great to have you, and as always, great to have an even better line. Prof, today we're going to be talking about Passover, about Pesach, and whether we should be celebrating as a family and inviting guests, or what's your take on the issue?
Yeah, can you believe it that the Pesach Siddurim are only 2 days away? We're almost there. And really, I'm being inundated with calls about whether Borba and Zayda can move in with us to have a Seder, or poor Aunt Lily, who's 8 years old and is all on her own. Can she come to the Seder and we'll put her at the end of the table and she can have her own room and her own bathroom, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I'm really being asked to make these very weighty family decisions. And really, I can only give medical advice. And the medical advice, I can summarize it in 4 points. The first point, the major route, as the little insert suggests. Now, the major route is by respiratory droplets going from a person that's infected to a susceptible individual. And the main way of preventing this is by social distancing, by keeping at least 6 feet away from somebody who's potentially infectious. These droplets go onto these surfaces, so hands can get contaminated, but provided that the hands don't go to the face, to the eyes, and to the nose, and to the mouth, again, that's the other way of preventing. That's the major routes of infection. Sure. The second thing, the important one, that is now becoming abundantly clear, that people that who don't have symptoms, who might not recognize that they're infected, can also transmit the infection. Either before they get the symptoms, or some people get infected without any symptoms at all. So they can also be carriers of the virus. The third important one is the elderly. We know, and I think I've said it many, many times, that the elderly are particularly vulnerable. We know, for example, data from Italy that people in the 80s, the case fatality is 1 in 5. It's very high. And the fourth is that there are certain events which we call super spreading events, events which are more likely to spread the virus more extensively and to a greater degree. And these have been identified specifically to be things like communal prayer gatherings. We've seen this with church gatherings, and of course we've seen it with shuls, with minyonim. And I think that the seders are a similar kind of gathering of people. So the medical advice which I have been given out is harsh, and that is that one should not have elderly people coming to these gatherings, or anybody who's got an underlying medical condition. They are vulnerable, and those are the situations where they can get infected. Now, this is the medical advice. I know there are other issues, there are psychological issues and so on, and I really can't kind of, you know, give that advice. I think it is an individual family decision. But however, the medical advice is that that elderly people, as harsh as it is, as difficult and challenging, they should not be together with a family. That's the medical advice I can give.
I hear you loud and clear, Prof. What I'm also thinking is, I mean, the question is kind of misplaced. It goes against the law of the land, doesn't it? Given current circumstances.
It does. In fact, Section 3, I've got it in front of me now, of the Government Gazette, the Government Gazette, which gazetted the Disaster Management Act, Section 3 is headed prohibition of gatherings. So gatherings are in fact prohibited, and I guess a Seder would be classified as a gathering. You know, having said all this, I'm pretty sure that there are going to be many people that are going to disregard the law and disregard the advice. If they do that, I can just plead with them to be absolutely meticulous with social distancing, hand washing, and all those things that we've spoken about, cough etiquette and so on and so forth. Because I know that this advice is going to be disregarded. I hope it's not going to be.
Yeah. What's so sad about that, Prof, is that all one needs to do is open up the Times of Israel or any publication coming out of Israel and see the infection rates in the more religious cities, B'nai Brak being a prime example, where they're saying up to a third of the population is infected with a virus. And it's not because they mean to disregard the law. I think it's just a matter of it's so inbred, this idea of praying together, of community, and it's difficult to understand that. But my goodness me, there has to be a greater good now for a limited period of time than that. I mean, surely.
People must take this disease very seriously. It's not a trivial disease. It's not influenza. It is a serious disease. And the only way that we can really kind of deal with it is with people cooperating. as I said before, it's easy to buck the system, but really the kind of success is going to depend on people cooperating together.
Prof, once again, some interesting and relevant advice. Thank you so much. We leave it there, but we'll pick up with you same time tomorrow.
Great. Fantastic. Thanks, Simon.